Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain. I could have easily just kept sitting tonight. I went a few minutes over there, which was just perfect. Boatman goes out into the middle of the lake and drops 1,000 feet of fishing line. The golden fish just stays outside of the hook. When we bite the hook of existence or non-existence, we get cooked and eaten. So why does the golden fish just stay away from the hook? In all the things that we do, we look forward to flowing through the process of being who we are in our lives, whether we're eating, fishing, taking care of children, going to school, all of it. Just this. How do you not bite the hook? So the tricky part for us is that, you know, of course we're going to get hooked. We do that. But then when you realize that you don't have to stay on the hook, that's all different thing than feeling hooked and you like you can't escape. It's not something that's real, that can hold on to you, because you're really the master of your own mind. If you recognize what it is that you're doing and you shift, having to jump, scream, dance, laugh, whatever it is that takes you out of that feeling of not being able to get beyond it, you do it. Our practice, really, I think our meditation is just like that. When we sit in deep meditation, it's like the boatman. We're the boatman. And there's this long line. And there's the golden fish. And if we think we can hook them, then we're stuck in that duality of this or that. And then we're hooked and cooked. So the golden fish won't be caught. It's interesting that in all these different centers all around the world, Buddhas are always golden. Purity, perfection, something that can't be tarnished, like the golden fish can't be caught. So one of the ways not to get hooked, like when you're sitting and meditating, sometimes I'll have a moment where something comes up for me that puts me in a place of compassion, sort of in a radiating experience where I'm just allowing love and compassion to be part of my experience, let's say. And it naturally radiates out into my world, whatever that is. Just sort of to sum up my relationship with my brother, which has been testy for our whole existence. When I got up there, he grabbed me and gave me a big bear hug. Now, this is not something I would expect from my brother. And it was really beautiful. So my mother's passing somehow brought us closer on some levels. Of course, we're not involved in politics here. We're not, you know, going into the things that would hook us very easily, but we're sharing our compassion for our situation and our love. And that was where we met. And I think that was really special. And I don't expect that I won't get hooked into things with my brother in the future. I'm sure I will. But I'm going to remember that, how powerful compassion and love, when it's unconditional, can be and how it can help us come to terms with things that are really difficult for us. That is a kind of opening where, you know, the constricted feeling of being hooked is let go of. And so I guess what I'm saying is the way to get unhooked is love and compassion. So not always easy to do, but ultimately it's the bodhisattva way, right? That's it. So any thoughts or questions or comments about what's been happening for you guys over the last couple of weeks?
So, yeah, I missed you. I'm glad you're back. Easier for me when I have a leader. I tend to lose my discipline when it's just me.
Yeah.
So, but I liked your talk on the hook and the golden fish. And I relate to it very much because, well, I've discussed this concept in the past or had to address it. And the expression commonly used is, don't take the bait, which is the same thing, I think, as you're taking, you're saying. And, you know, I think I shared this before you went away, but I got to a certain epiphany, I like to think, in my meditation, in that I saw that it was a choice I was making to go into the past or into negative thinking and, you know, rehash old, refight old wars, etc. And, you know, instead of giving up all hope of a better past, I still believe I could change it, I guess. Anyway, of course, I know better than that. But it was good to recognize my propensity or tendency to do that. And I mean, I guess I'm psychoanalyzing myself, but I think I do it because it's less, I'm less fearful when I'm thinking about old familiar stuff and again, old battles. And it's, I have a lot more trepidation about what to do here and now and what's the path forward.
And I appreciate, you know, your sharing, and thank you for doing that. Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful story. I'm so happy for you that you made that connection. And what came to mind to me is that, I don't know, this was, I guess, during the 60s. So it was a lot of this pop psychology stuff. And there's this guy, Abraham Maslow, that wrote a book, and it was about peak experiences. And that's what came to mind when you were sharing.
Uh-huh.
And like you say, is so powerful. Yeah. It kind of changes the whole landscape.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Course correction. It can be scary because there's things ahead of you don't know. Mm-hmm. But all of life is don't know.
Yes.
And all of it is course correction all of the time. So it being in the flow, mm-hmm. is like what I started saying earlier about, you know, not getting hooked to either. Mm-hmm. And then you can course correct continuously with the situation. And not be attached to the results because, you know, be surprised. Well, at least twice a week, you have the opportunity to meditate.
Yes.
And I think you'll find that that is very helpful.
Yeah.
I'm glad you showed up tonight and did some deep diving. I just wanted to mention that since I got back from my trip, I've been noticing there were 8 new people waiting to join the Facebook group. Several more likes and additional people in the Facebook page. And then our newsletter has climbed a little bit, and our podcasts are climbing a little bit. So I would say we're on sort of a good trajectory, gaining more of a foothold in our presence as a practice center. So that's encouraging to me.
Good.
So thanks, everybody.